Get ready for the NFL draft. Well, we still want to talk a little fantasy baseball. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Today. Hey, are you hiring? With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/strike. For free at ZipRecruiter.com/strike. Adam Azer, Heath Cummings, Chris Towers. We have an NFL draft show on the website and on the app. I'll tell you about in a little bit. I want to start with a game called Hey, Real Quick. Hey, real quick, would you rather have James Paxton or Yu Darvish?
Yu Darvish.
I would still rather have Yu Darvish, but it's hard not to view James Paxton as like a top 15 pitcher right now.
He's pretty good.
He's been incredible. He's not quite left-handed Noah Syndergaard, but he's not far off right now.
It's definitely a lot harder now than it was after his last start.
What was it? His last start wasn't great?
He had a bad start.
Oh, yeah.
He has had one bad start in like his last 8 months of pitching.
And I love the innings, too. 39 strikeouts and 6 walks and 32 and a third. Darvish is off to a good start as well. 13 walks, a little more wild. 31 strikeouts, 32 and two-thirds. But, yeah, Paxton's really exciting. I think at this point, real quick, who would you rather have, James Paxton or Cole Hamels?
James Paxton. I already have him. A couple, like 5 spots ahead of Cole Hamels. I did that after the last start.
Yeah.
After Hamels' last start or Paxton's?
No, after Paxton's last start.
The bad one.
Yep. I've been thoroughly unimpressed by Cole Hamels.
How many good starts has he had? He's not striking anybody out. It's the weirdest
thing. He's had some pretty good starts in terms of run prevention, but I think he has 15 strikeouts in like 36 innings or something.
Yeah, I, before last night, had Hamels at 15 and Paxton at 19.
Just swap them. Hamels to 19, Paxton to 15.
Yeah, it may go like 17 and 18 or something. It's gonna be. They're very, very close. Push.
I just went to our CBSSports.com MLB player page where you can search for players, and I went to type in Cole Hamels because I thought he had a good ERA. It's 3.03, but none of the search results are coming up. What's going on? I typed in Chris Towers instead of Cole Hamels. You are not in the database, Chris.
Mistake.
Mm-hmm.
I am a worse pitcher than Cole Hamels.
All right. Hey, we got a fun show today. I do promise we are going to grade some trades at the end of the show. We're going to do something called buy high or sell high. I give you a guy who has been playing well. You tell me, is he a sell high candidate or should we actually buy high and trick people into thinking that they are selling high on a good player? The Thames watch is back, and it's a scary one. News and notes, stock falling on some struggling players, and I've got a few guys who are pretty widely available that I think you should go pick up right now. Maybe, I'll ask you guys, that I think at least you should consider going to pick up right now. But let's start with...
Wait, did you say it's a scary Thames watch?
Yeah.
So it's a scaric Thames watch?
Nice. Nice.
It wasn't nice, it was bad.
Yeah, but I'm being nice, so, you know, I'm nice. It was terrible, but I'm being nice, yeah. buy high or sell high right now, guys, on Ryan Zimmerman, the number 3 first baseman in points behind Thames and Goldschmidt, the number 2 first baseman in Roto behind only Eric Thames. Is Zimmerman more of a buy high or a sell high?
I would say probably neither one. I'm not buying Ryan Zimmerman from anyone. I'm not buying into this production that he's going to be a top 5 or even top 10 first baseman. I also think that it's very difficult when you've got a player that's 32 years old and has a pretty established track record to get somebody else to buy into what he's done so far. So he's probably somebody you ride high.
Okay. Chris, yeah,
just
agree?
Hang on to him, especially in a roto league where you can use him as a corner infielder. I think he's a huge value, but this is what we hope to see from Ryan Zimmerman. The exit velocity is still elite, and he has improved his launch angle, and we're seeing the results of that.
Okay, buy high or sell high on Jose Ramirez, the number 2 second baseman in fantasy. He's also a top 5 third baseman. And he's batting .320 with 5 home runs and 2 steals. Also, 18 RBIs for Jose Ramirez. You just want to compare him to last year when Ramirez was the number 9 third baseman in points, number 11 in rotisserie. He is better. 3.95 fantasy points per game compared to 3.13 fantasy points per game. But look, his BABIP is actually lower. It's only 305. He is hitting more fly balls. Home run to fly ball ratio is crazy high. It's early. But Jose Ramirez, is he a buy high? Is he a sell high? Is he what you said about Zimmerman? You tell me.
He's really good. I'm riding him. I don't know if I'd be able to buy him, but if I could for a reasonable price, I would. I think he's really good.
I've moved Ramirez into my top 10 at second base. So I don't quite buy what he's doing, but for the most part, I do. So I'd say buy high.
Okay, Jose Ramirez over Evan Longoria now, clearly?
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, it's been for a while for me.
Kyle Seager or Jose Ramirez? Kyle Seager dealing with this little hip issue now, I think.
I still have Jose Ramirez number 9 at third base behind Kyle Seager and Miguel Sano.
Okay. All right, but we like Jose Ramirez. He is backing it up. Buy high or sell high on Freddie Freeman, who is batting .388 with a .500 on base, a .791 slugging, with 15 walks and 15 strikeouts in addition to 7 homers. Only 9 RBIs somehow for Freddie Freeman with a .388 batting average and 7 homers.
Well, he still plays for the Braves.
That's still insane. Buy high or sell high, Freddie Freeman?
I'm pretty close to buying it. It's a little bit of the Daniel Murphy situation where I didn't buy the breakout. The fact that it's continuing, it'd be kind of dumb to not change my opinion.
I would still rather have Murphy than Freeman. But
I think he's right there.
An interesting one is if you've got Miguel Cabrera, would you take Freddie Freeman for Cabrera? And I have moved Freeman ahead of Cabrera in my rankings right now.
Ooh. You know, they were 3.5 fantasy points apart last year. They had very similar
seasons.
Of them's
two decades younger and not currently hurt.
So can we sum it up by saying if we were drafting again today, Freddie Freeman would be a late second round pick in a 12-team league? Because that's when, you know, like Encarnacion and Cabrera and Murphy were going.
No, not for me.
I'm gonna take a mea culpa on this one. I was right there with Heath as a big Freddie Freeman skeptic. I don't think Heath has changed his mind quite yet.
What I was going to say was I would now agree with where I was questioning him going in the third round, and I would now agree with that. I think that was correct. I was wrong, but I'm not going to say he should have been a second round pick.
Yeah, like I think he's pretty close to an elite power hitter at this point, and that's the only thing that was missing from his game.
Okay, well, Freeman's off to a great start, and I think right now you're probably taking Freeman over Encarnacion.
I have not moved Encarnacion behind Freeman or Murphy.
Nope.
And I don't think that you trade Freeman for Encarnacion. That's not really a good sell. But if you trade Freeman for Encarnacion and, you know, a Danny Salazar type player, maybe it's worth it then. If you still believe in Encarnacion, which it appears you guys do. Is that a fair
trade? I still believe in Encarnacion, yes.
I would not give up Freeman for Encarnacion.
And I wouldn't give up Encarnacion for Freeman.
But if you could give up Freeman to the Encarnacion owner and also get a high-end number 3 starting pitcher back, you know, someone around, you know, top 25 pitcher.
Yeah, I'd do it.
You'd do that.
In a heartbeat.
Freeman and a top 25 pitcher for Encarnacion? Yeah, I would do that.
No, other way around.
Okay.
Encarnacion and a top 25 pitcher for Freeman. And I think it's realistic. And I think, you know, there's risk there because Encarnacion is getting up in age and he had the higher strikeout rate last year and he's off to a terrible start, but he wasn't off to a great start last year either. You know. But okay, I'm trying to throw out realistic trade scenarios. I don't think that's an Azer trade. I think you could probably pull that off. I think people are very disappointed and probably nervous with Encarnacion.
Speaking of realistic trade offers, I know that you're doing a marvelous job of your fast start in the editorial league, but you have a terrible outfield and a terrible second baseman, and I have too many of both, and you have a bunch of starting pitching. Would you make me an offer, please?
I will make you an offer, and it will.
I've made him offers, and he just ignores them or declines them and doesn't counteroffer.
It will involve.
I like that strategy.
Thank you. It will involve you giving me Manny Machado. So, you know.
Make an offer for Manny Machado. He is available.
Okay,
and I've got like 17 second and third basemen and no pitchers.
I don't have a terrible outfield. It's in trouble now because of the Haniger injury. But I'll just say this:
But no, no. Michael Conforto is your number two outfielder, and Haniger is your number three right now?
I have Springer on the bench. So
okay, so Michael Conforto is your number three.
No, I have Springer, Schwarber, and Brantley in a 14-team league. That's a good outfield. So you're just not seeing the whole picture here. I would say this, like, don't... I like trading. Trading's really fun. I think trading's probably the most fun part of fantasy baseball. Maybe drafting is. If you're off to a good start, you don't have to make trades. Like, I like my team, so don't trade just for the sake of trading here. Don't let Heath try to bully you into that either. Let's go back to buy high or sell high. Guys, I'm starting to buy it. I'm starting to buy it. I feel like a homer, but man, Luis Severino, 2-1 with a 3 ERA, 4 walks, 33 strikeouts in 27 innings. And he just did a great job against Boston without Dustin Pedroia on a cold, rainy night. But still, the changeup looked pretty good. I'm starting to buy it. I think Luis Severino is much more of a buy high than a sell high.
Here, I benched him this week. I did not think the matchups against Boston and Baltimore were going to work out for him. I was still skeptical. If you do it against Boston, it's hard to keep ignoring. And the big thing for him is his fastball velocity is up about 0.75 mph over last April, but his changeup and slider velocity are both down pretty significantly.
And that's
that
a good
seems
thing.
Like a really big deal.
That's a great thing for him. I've mentioned this many times. He had, I think, the least amount of separation between his fastball and his slider in the American League last year, at least at one point in the season. He's definitely more of a pitcher now. Can you tell me how many changeups Severino threw yesterday? Do you have that?
I looked it up last night. I can find it really quickly. I think it was around 10.
Do you think Severino is like a top 40 pitcher?
I will answer that question in the coming days after I do my rankings, but it's possible.
I think I would sell him being a top 40 pitcher. If I could get that type of value for him, I'd be selling high. But he is a huge asset as a find, likely off the waiver wire, especially in leagues, points leagues.
Mm-hmm. He threw 12 changeups last night, averaged 88 miles per hour with them, 10 miles per hour less than his fastball. The separation between the two was about 6 miles per hour last year.
Excellent. All right, buy high or sell high, Avi Garcia, 73% owned, still available, another homer yesterday.
Still selling.
Yeah, this is one where there's no obvious change in his game, and so it seems just like a hot streak.
Is it possible that the obvious change is that he's just in better shape?
It's certainly possible, but he's not hitting the ball harder than league average in terms of exit velocity.
Okay.
His none of his batted ball data is really any different. He still hits too many fly ball or ground balls, so I don't see any reason to buy it.
Well, some of his batted ball data is different. He's got a 471 BABIP.
Yeah. Okay, that's Avi Garcia. Good. We needed at least one sell high in this group. And finally, buy high or sell high on Aaron Judge, who is now batting 281 with 7 home runs, 7 walks, and 18 strikeouts, 2 doubles and a triple in 18 games.
I really appreciate that all of the gigantic hulking sluggers are off to good starts this season because they're all my large adult sons, and they make me proud.
Well, that's very nice, Chris.
Yes.
Well, are we buying Aaron Judge here? What do you think?
His swinging strike rate's down to 10%. That's an elite mark for a power hitter. That's something that, like, Giancarlo Stanton's never come close to.
I'd buy him as a fourth or fifth outfielder.
Okay.
I think he's in my top 50.
Would you rather have Aaron Judge or Yasiel Puig?
I might have them literally right next to each other.
I've got it very close. I will still.
I've got Puig quite a bit higher. I have Judge at 52. I need to move him up.
Also go with Puig.
I'm looking at some outfielders that you have ahead of Judge in your rankings, and I'm going to recommend you move Judge ahead of them. Hunter Pence.
I just moved him to 41.
Are these points leagues or roto leagues?
I'm looking at points, but let's go to I'll go to roto.
Roto, I think, would be a better way to look at it. That's his best format.
Okay. Then in that case, it's a little harder.
If what we're seeing right now
Jason
is
Hayward?
Real.
What?
Jason Hayward or Judge?
I would rather have Judge.
Oh, I'm going with Hayward for sure.
Oh, how about Yasmani Tomas or Judge?
Tomas.
Judge.
All right. I won't, Manuel Margot or Judge?
Judge.
Judge.
Okay. So, you know, He's definitely worth owning.
Also, Manuel Margot.
Manuel Margot, that's right.
Nomar Mazzara or Aaron Judge?
Mazzara.
Let me tell you something about Mazzara. Zero extra base hits against lefties this year. He is 3-for-21. He sat against a lefty yesterday. Last year, 2 extra base hits in 111 at-bats against lefties.
Yeah. He kind of just had a bunch of RBI early, but he hasn't been very good.
Do you want to know the players that I think you should pick up now before it's too late?
Yes,
absolutely.
I do.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, you can't find out unless you go to our website tonight, 7:55 p.m. Eastern, on CBSSports.com, the CBS Sports app, and all streaming devices. We've got Nick Costos hosting with Brady Quinn, Pete Prisco, and Jason LaCanfora. Jamie and Heath are going to provide fantasy analysis. This is for the NFL draft. If you're, like me, tired of the NFL draft coverage that you've been seeing for, like, decades, it's all the same. Try CBSSports.com, try the app, any streaming devices. You're going to get fantasy analysis from it. That's pretty exclusive. And Brady Quinn and Pete and Nick are going to do it. Just going to kill it. We also have Will Brinson, Luke Rogers, John Beeson, DJ Williams, other Miami Hurricanes, perhaps. And it's really great stuff. I watch every year, and I encourage you to do the same. So that's starting at 7:55 p.m. Eastern. And it's all weekend, by the way. We have coverage of the draft, live coverage during the NFL draft. All right, so Byron Buxton is 48% owned. Should we be picking him up before it's too late? Now, granted, he's 48% owned, but 3-for-his-last-7 with 5 walks in his last 3 games and only 1 strikeout. Maybe it's just 3 games, but should we take the chance on Buxton now in case this is something?
Well, you guys are welcome. I finally dropped him, and so that's why this has happened.
I wouldn't do it. For me, the answer is no. I'm not really that interested.
Look, it depends on what your team looks like, which isn't a particularly helpful piece of advice. But if you've got an open roster spot, they're still like this is still a super talented player.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Right. It depends on what you're dropping, I guess. Would you rather have Conforto or Buxton?
Conforto.
Would you rather have Bellinger or Buxton?
Bellinger.
Bellinger
hasn't failed yet.
Well, he failed yesterday, 0 for 5 with 3 strikeouts, but
yeah.
Facing Cueto and actually leading off for the Dodgers. All right, so that's the first guy. Here are 2 more that I think are very interesting. Archie Bradley. It seems like Shelby Miller could very well need Tommy John surgery. He's getting a 3rd opinion, this time from an elbow doctor whose name I can pronounce, Dr. James Andrews. And it seems like, you know, Godley's kind of a stopgap. Bradley could be in the rotation. He has been amazing in the bullpen with a 1.26 ERA, 3 walks, 17 strikeouts, and 14 1/3. In 2 seasons as a starter, his ERA is over 5. So, you know, Bradley's 18% owned. Delino DeShields, I picked him up in the scam league, in the rejects league.
Did you ask Scott about that?
I did. But okay. If he had not responded, I would have made an executive decision anyway. Because I've just got this hunch. And reading the papers this morning, it seems like they've got this hunch that if the Rangers want to jumpstart their offense, their leadoff hitters have been terrible. They got to get Delino DeShields in the lineup. He led off. He went 2-for-3. He walked 3 times. He stole 2 bases in 3 attempts. He scored 3 runs. Now, they put up a 14 spot.
Not buying it.
I'm buying it as, like, take a chance here. So Archie Bradley and Delino DeShields are very available. Are you buying either of them?
Like, for DeShields, if you were in a... My problem is I have 2 daily transaction leagues, and they're both 2 of my most shallow leagues. If I was in, like, a 14-team daily transaction league, then I could absolutely get excited about Delino DeShields. But even in a 12-team daily transaction league, I don't think there's going to be a situation where Delino DeShields becomes an everyday player.
You mean daily lineups?
Yes.
Okay, not like add drops every day. Set your lineup every day.
It's the same. Those leagues are both. But
well, no, yes. Because you've got the 5 outfielder auction league. I thought about picking up DeShields in that league yesterday, but I didn't have anyone that I really wanted to drop. But that's a roto league.
I very rarely have someone that I want to drop.
Especially if he's going to be on the short end of a platoon split.
I don't know that he is going to be, though. Who are they going to platoon him with? Mazzara sat yesterday, and Rua...
Omar Mazzara is not sitting against right-handed pitchers.
No,
so,
but why would... Why would
Shinsu Chu is going to play against righties. So where is DeShields going to play against righties?
Left field.
Over
Profar and Rua.
Maybe. I don't... I don't really think that there's, like, we thought this coming into the spring, and then they just completely shut him out of the rotation for a while.
I know, and their replacements have been terrible. Like, Carlos Gomez was leading off. He didn't yesterday. Rua is a lefty, lefty hitting, you know, he hits lefties. Profar's been bad. Chu DHs. And Beltre might be out another month, by the way. He got bad news on his calf. So I think there's an opportunity here, and I think it makes sense to give this guy a shot because he can get on base, he can walk, and when he walks, he steals. So I don't know. I just want to throw it out there. He's 9% owned. You guys do what you want. What about Archie Bradley? Do you think he could be successful in the rotation?
I think he's a one-pitch pitcher, and that can work in the bullpen. It cannot work as a starter. His velocity's way up. That makes the fastball play up even more in the bullpen, but I have trouble seeing him as a starting pitcher.
What about Alex Wood, who was flirting with a no-hitter yesterday, and he threw only 77 pitches? They don't seem comfortable letting Wood go that deep into games yet, but he 6 scoreless innings, 1 hit, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts at San Francisco. I don't even know if he's got a rotation spot, but should we be picking up Alex Wood? He's 22% owned.
Yeah, I think after that type of outing, we believe he has upside.
Especially when he's throwing 3 miles an hour harder than he was last year and 5 miles an hour harder than 2 years ago.
I he is the guy on this list that I would be most excited about picking up.
Yep.
Alex Wood. But who would they bump from the rotation? Because they've got 6 guys now. They've got Kershaw, Maeda, Urias, McCarthy, Ryu, and Wood.
I kind of think, and I hate the 6-man rotation, I kind of think the Dodgers are in a position where they should maybe use it, because Maeda is much better with extra rest and has shown that over and over again. You've got Urias, who you want to limit his
innings. I'm gonna stop you right now. I don't think they would ever do that, because they're not going to make Clayton Kershaw wait another day every
turn. Okay, well then just do a 6-man rotation, except Kershaw pitches on normal rest.
Okay, well that could work.
Because McCarthy and Ryu, how long are you expecting their arms to stay together?
Yeah, that's the big thing for me, is that McCarthy and Ryu have not shown that they can stay healthy over the last couple of years, so I would... you're going to have a rotation spot at some point.
I thought it was an interesting night. I was pretty active last night. I picked up Alex Cobb for 2 starts next week, because I think in good matchups you can be okay with him. And guys, I got to be honest, I picked up DeShields and I picked up Alex Wood in separate leagues. I got to be honest with you, I'm starting to see now that fantasy baseball in 2017 is looking and feeling to me like fantasy baseball in 2016, where I'm seeing more attractive hitters on the waiver wire than pitchers. I'm struggling to get pitching depth and pick up guys I like. You know, at the beginning of the season, I'm picking up this guy. A lot of them haven't panned out, like Alex Cobb. So I don't know. I don't know what the numbers are saying right now in terms of runs and home runs and all that, but I'm not feeling good about waiver wire pitchers at the moment.
The thing is, if the league-wide ERA is up, which it is,
the same thing as it was last year,
then a replacement-level pitcher is a worse pitcher.
Yeah.
I just mean, like, fantasy baseball, the way I started playing, I've been playing since I started hosting this podcast 7-8 years now. It always was like, not going to invest that much in pitcher because I can get them on waivers. I can always stream pitchers. I can always pick them up. I don't really feel that way anymore. I feel like hitters are more streamable now.
But, that's only because you see a guy with a 3.7 ERA. And you don't get excited about him, but a 3.7 ERA in 2016 or 2017 is a lot more valuable than it was 7 years ago.
Okay, that's a good point, but you still have... I think you have more separation now between the must-starts and the streamers. Maybe. I don't know. I haven't really... I looked at waivers for pitchers, and like I picked up Joe Musgrove because I just want to take a shot on someone with some upside that could maybe turn it around, but it's ugly out there. It feels like, the point I want to make is, I don't really want to trade pitching for hitting. If I have depth at starting pitcher, like Heath, you just mentioned it, the editorial league, right?
Right.
I have great pitching depth there. You want some of it. I don't want to necessarily trade Jacob deGrom for Manny Machado. I feel like I have to. I don't even know if you would take that, but I wouldn't feel great about it because I feel like I'd really be lacking in pitching, and it's just easier to get hitting than it is pitching.
Then we should have had Manny Machado as a third round pick and Jacob DeGrom as a first.
No, it's just, it's the way it ends up playing out once you see the landscape, you know, and look, I might be dumb.
I think it would be ridiculous not to trade Jacob DeGrom for Manny Machado.
I agree in a vacuum when I look at my teams and I say, what would my team actually look like on a week to week basis if I didn't have a stud pitcher I could rely on? I know it's a little scary. So yeah, look, well, I would trade DeGrom for Machado. I would.
Four out of five weeks, you're only going to have one start from him anyway.
Yeah, Machado's more valuable. There's no question. But my general overall point is, I would overvalue pitching right now in trades in most of my leagues based on the landscape that I'm seeing. At least reliable pitching.
Yeah, I think part of that is that a bunch of guys we thought were reliable aren't reliable, and that's kind of the whole thing with pitching.
Yeah.
All like, right, a guy who's reliable on Monday stops being reliable 5 days later. Well, Danny Duffy. Danny Duffy a reliable starting pitcher now?
Marcus Stroman.
But is Manny Machado a reliable hitter?
Yes.
He's been terrible.
There's a big difference between three bad weeks as a hitter. Like three
you're
bad
going
weeks
start
as a hitter
by start, though. Maybe I just misinterpreted what you were saying.
No, but I'm asking, like, I have Danny Duffy as a top 20 pitcher. I don't feel like he's reliable.
So I
think top 20 outfielders are much more reliable than top 20 pitchers, even the good ones.
Okay. All right. I don't want to belabor the point. I just thought it would be an interesting topic. And it was. Time for the Thames watch. Uh-oh. Eric Thames left with a hamstring injury. Hamstring tightness. He expects to play on Friday. You know what his problem was, guys, according to Craig Counsell? He's so damn good that he got hurt. Counsell said he's been on base too much. He's too much base running, and the hamstring got tight.
He didn't hit any home runs yesterday.
Now, here's my question. I wasn't on the podcast yesterday, but I made like 7 or 8 different trade offers for Eric Thames on Tuesday, and fair offers, right? Not Azer offers.
Good.
Mostly very fair offers. All of them were rejected within the hour.
Really?
Only one person counteroffered, and it was a ridiculous counteroffer.
Yeah, I wrote about this.
Right.
Like, if you have Eric Thames, it's really hard to justify trading him, because I released the trade chart yesterday, and I have him in like the Hanley Ramirez, Gene Segura range. And
the Hanley Ramirez throwing in there is different when you say it.
The Gene Segura, you know, I think Jacob DeGrom is in the same range, or Carlos Martinez.
Right.
And so it's a lot of guys who have high upside, just like Eric Thames has shown, but they're also risky. You couldn't possibly trade Eric Thames for Gene Segura. That would be a dumb trade to make.
But do I now go back and make slightly worse versions of those same trade offers?
I think Eric Thames is nearly untradeable.
It's pretty interesting. I don't think he should be untradeable.
You probably cannot get enough in return for Eric Thames to justify moving him right now.
No. I mean, the names you mentioned, I don't know that I'd trade him for Carlos Martinez. I'd certainly trade Thames for Jacob DeGrom, and I'd probably trade Thames for Gene Segura. I mean, Gene Segura is a pretty good player.
Gene Segura, but he also has downside.
He does. We haven't seen downside from Thames. And no, he did not homer yesterday, but this Thames watch would not be complete without mentioning he did walk twice, didn't he?
Yeah, got on base 3 times.
Amazing. And this has been today's Thames watch for Fantasy Baseball Today. I'm Adam Azer. The big news! Jose Altuve could be back in the lineup today. Told you about Adrian Beltre not making good progress. Mitch Haniger and Felix Hernandez are both on the DL. Do you think this guarantees fairly regular playing time for Taylor Motter? Okay. Jose Abreu, day-to-day with a sprained hip flexor? Strained or sprained? I don't know.
I'm going to guess strained.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Kyle Seager sat again. David Dahl will take batting practice soon. Bud Norris got his third save. He's 12% owned. We don't have a timetable for Bedrosian. When I first read about his injury, they thought it would only be 10 days, but if you need to take a shot, Bud Norris, 3 saves in Bedrosian's absence. Sean Manaea left last night's start with shoulder tightness. He said he's dealt with that before. He did not pitch well. We don't recommend dropping Sean Manaea, do we?
Not yet.
Okay.
No.
And Pittsburgh keeps on making history. They called up Gift and Gopay after 9 years in the minors, and they demoted Devitis Sorry, don't know how to pronounce that one.
Nevarauskas.
Nevarauskas. Well, I know the last name I knew. So the Pirates called up the first African-born player in baseball history and demoted the first baseball player born and raised in Latvia. So very international.
Cool. I would expect a Disney movie by like the summer of 2019.
We got to talk about players whose stock might be falling, struggling players. A lot of people asking about Bregman and Lucroy. We'll talk about them in just a second, but I've recently learned how great of a website ZipRecruiter.com is, whether you're looking for a job or if you're hiring. But if you happen to be hiring, you're going to love the free offer we have for you. You can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/strike. This is the simple way to post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. And once those candidates start rolling in, there's going to be no juggling emails or calls to your office. You quickly screen the candidates, you rate them, you hire the right person fast. Look, you want to be efficient, so use ZipRecruiter.com/strike. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by Fortune 100 companies and thousands of small and medium-sized businesses. So it's going to work for you. And when the time comes, you need to make a great hire. ZipRecruiter is going to make that possible. So our special offer for our listeners, post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/strike. That's ZipRecruiter.com/strike for the free offer. Whew, okay, whose stock is falling? Alex Bregman. Is his stock falling?
I don't think so. Maybe because a couple of people have been really good and have passed him, but his plate discipline has been outstanding. His swinging strike rate is way down. His line drive rate is still there. He's not hitting the ball exceptionally hard, but it's not that much off where he was last year. He's hitting too many ground balls. I don't think that's like some philosophical change. I expect Bregman to be fine.
Jose Ramirez or Alex Bregman?
Ramirez.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a full season of Ramirez being better already.
That said, this is a great buy low. I think this is like a buy dirt cheap because people really are down on Bregman. A lot of my opinions when I say stuff like that is just based on the feedback I see in emails and on Twitter. So look, it's you listeners that tweet me don't represent the fantasy baseball community, but I get the sense the average fantasy owner is very frustrated with Alex Bregman. And this could be someone you get really cheap. Remember, he started 2-for-38 last year. And then he hit 313 with a 931 OPS in his last 39 games, Alex Bregman.
But the type of player who can be a bust is a young player without much track record.
Sure.
Who gets drafted really high. And Alex Bregman was going pretty high.
I feel like he could be a bust and still be a buy. Like he's not gonna be this bad, right? So you could buy low on him if you buy really low, like a Jason Vargas. I don't know if that's realistic, but maybe.
Right. It depends on how frustrated the person who owns him currently is.
Even though I buy Luis Severino, I think that's a trade you could try to make right now. Severino for Bregman or those are the key components of the trade.
I don't dislike that.
Yeah. I don't hate it, but it's not necessarily a trade I would make yet.
Jonathan Lucroy, batting 196. Look, he was great with the Rangers last year at an 885 OPS. He's just been awful. But only 5 strikeouts in 15 games. How concerned are you about, is Lucroy's stock falling?
I'm more concerned about the fact that he's just not playing as much as I expected him to.
Chirinos is red hot right now.
Jonathan Lucroy is not somebody that's supposed to fall victim to a red hot backup catcher.
Well, when he's batting 196, I think Lucroy. Look, he's played 15 games out of like 20 or 21.
That's not the ratio I expected from Jonathan Lucroy.
Well, is his stock falling, or do you still value him the same?
The catcher's awful. I still value him the same.
Yeah, he's still in the top 5 for sure, but you know,
who would have passed him?
Nobody.
McCann. Right.
So he's still in the top 3 for sure.
Yeah. But, you know, it was bad 2 years ago. He is 31.
Yeah,
Just going to pat myself on the back here. This is why I didn't want to draft any of the catchers.
Shocking.
Heath.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens. Catcher has not played out anything like we thought it would in the first month of the year. Is Billy Hamilton's stock falling? He's batting 212. He's got no power, obviously, and yes, he's stealing bases, but Billy Hamilton batting .212 with 3 RBIs. While you answer that, I'm going to look up where he ranks among outfielders, but is Billy Hamilton's stock falling?
His stock's not really going to fall for me as long as he's playing. Because as long as he's playing and leading off, and if he steals 60 bases, then he gave me what I expected from
him. And there's no reason to believe he's going to lose his job, and 60 bases is low. Like, you really think he's only going to steal 50 more bases in the next 140 games? That seems low. He's already at 10.
I don't think he has 140 games probably left to play.
At this pace, he might only need 100 more games to get to 60.
Well, yeah. Billy Hamilton.
This is why I was so excited to draft Billy Hamilton is just, yes, he's only hitting 213. Yes, he's hurting you there. A lot of that's BABIP related, and his batted ball profile has improved enough that you could see him, you know, being someone who should be a 290, 300 BABIP guy. If he's hitting 260,
yeah, like his batted ball profile is not very good. He's got a 30% soft contact rate so far and an 11% hard contact rate.
Sure, but he's also stopped hitting quite so many fly balls the way he did early in his career. I think that's big.
Well, here's the thing. Like, Hamilton right now is the number 52 outfielder in points leagues and number 48 in Roto. Now, when it comes to points leagues, there's really no disputing. It's like that's what he is. When it comes to Roto, Billy Hamilton is really – his value really depends on the rest of your team. You know, he's the number 48 outfielder right now. But if you can compensate for his lack of everything but steals – then he's more valuable than 48th.
And that's the problem, though.
He's on pace for 80 runs.
Yeah,
I guess my problem is that he was drafted in the 5th or 6th round. And I feel like our Roto formula generally gives more weight to stolen bases than they deserve. And he's absolutely killing you in like 3 of the 5 categories. He's just like he's not even there.
Do you think he's a .213 batting average?
Yeah, he's also cold right now.
I think he's probably at .240.
That's a pretty sizable jump. He averaged...
Well, it's like 2 or 3 hits, right?
He averaged 1 infield hit every 6 games last season. He has yet to have one this season.
All right.
Billy Hamilton's not slower.
So his stock is not falling in your eyes, Billy Hamilton?
Not for me.
The next guy on this list is Manny Machado. Quick no on him?
No, not at all.
No concern.
How about Mark Trumbo, his teammate, batting 190 with 1 home run, 4 walks, and 21 strikeouts? Is Trumbo's stock falling?
Yeah. Like, last year was a big outlier for him. Anytime you have the big outlier, if you don't back it up the way Freddie Freeman is or the way Daniel Murphy did early last season, I think you do have to question it.
Now, I'll say this, though. Like, he was a top, I think he was like number 7, number 8 outfielder last year, Trumbo. You guys had him ranked closer to 20. So is his stock falling from that? Is he like outside the top 30 now? Is he behind Miguel Sano? Is he behind Jose Ramirez? Is Trumbo behind Benintendi? Guys like that.
I have removed him behind Miguel Sano.
I'm not motivated to drop him yet. I think that's one thing about the way he approaches it. If you strike out in a fourth of your plate appearances and you hit a ton of fly balls, you're going to have terrible stretches and you're going to have amazing stretches. You're going to be more streaky.
Yeah, he's streaky. Sure. So Trumbo's going to
turn
around. He's
been passed by a few players, though.
Like who?
Well, Eric Thames, for sure.
Okay.
Miguel Sano, for me. Okay. Yeah, I moved him down to 28th.
All right, last one here. Is Anthony Rendon's stock falling? He's the only one who's not hitting at Coors Field right now. Everybody else is. Batting .231. The Nationals have been beaten up on Rockies pitching in Coors Field. This guy was the 11th best third baseman in fantasy last year, 12th best in Roto, 11th in points. And Rendon had a terrible first half, and then he slugged .508 in the second half. Is his stock falling, or do you think Rendon is a buy low? Or both?
You know, there were a lot of positive signs with his slow start last year. There are not nearly as many right now. StatCast's expected WOBA has him as a .276 WOBA hitter, which is really bad. He's a .267 with his real WOBA, so there's not a lot in the batted ball profile that makes you think that he's got just bad luck so far.
He's just not that good. Record. Like, Rendon.
I'm not downgrading him. I'm not buying low. He got off to a slow start, which was affected by the fact that he wasn't healthy in spring. I will give him probably two more weeks, and if he's still going this bad, then I'll downgrade him a little.
The rest of the show, that's Anthony Rendon we're talking about. The rest of the show we're going to do fairly quickly here. I need to tell you, though, about something very cool. If you like picking games, Sportsline.com. I told you about this last year. I haven't told you about Sportsline.com this year. But they have a special time. They have a special limited time offer right now. Usually it's $100 a year. It's $99.99. Right now it's $49.99 yearly. So you're saving $50. And some sites charge $50 for a single pick. It's a crazy industry. We give you picks on like every game. It's crazy how many picks you get. It's $9.99 a month or $49.99 for the year. And if you want Vegas experts and their advice, and it's really good stuff, $49.99. Go to sportsline.com. Sign up right now. Rank these outfielders. David Peralta, 5 straight multi-hit games. Corey Dickerson. Manuel Margot. Hunter Renfro. Michael Conforto. Peralta, Dickerson, Margot, Renfro, Conforto.
I think I have Margot highest out of this group, followed by Dickerson, Peralta, Conforto, and Renfro.
I will go Dickerson, Peralta, Margot, Conforto, Renfro.
Okay, Conforto lower than I expected, but okay. Lineup stuff. Matt Davidson DH'd against the righty for the White Sox. This is AL only, but you know we want to see him against righties, not just lefties. Jay Bruce is first base eligible. Hernan Perez started in right field. Keon Broxton sat. Cody Bellinger, as I mentioned, he led off. He went 0 for 5. He struck out 3 times facing Johnny Cueto, amongst others. Josh Bell has reached base in 11 straight games. He's starting to turn things around a little bit for the Pirates. Keep an eye on Josh Bell. Here's your joke of the day. It's from Tom. Tom says, hey, did you know Christina Aguilera used to sing the anthem at Pirates games? I think she'd sing, come on Nova, baby. What do you find Nova
for the anthem? That's kind of disrespectful.
Yeah, I guess. But
come on Nova, Babip.
Babip would be great, yeah. Nova has to have a pretty low Babip.
Yeah, that's the joke.
There you go. Here's a crazy league idea. Our crazy league idea of the day, it's from Phil. Phil and I were exchanging emails yesterday. He told me that the commissioner in his league, the commissioner keeps Mike Trout off everyone's roster. Mike Trout is not on any roster. The team that makes the most trades by the deadline gets Mike Trout. How crazy is that?
It's interesting.
Yeah. It's kind of fun.
About the team where you just draft everyone who has the same last name?
No.
I think someone emailed us about that, and their question was, where would Mike Trout go in that type of draft? It's an interesting one.
Wait, I don't get it.
You draft a last name. You get every player who has that last name in baseball.
So every Gomez.
Every Polanco, yeah. Where does Trout go?
Wow, where does Trout go in the last name league? Well, what's like the best? Probably first, right? I don't know. No.
Trying to think of what the best last name would be.
Garcia?
Like Trey Turner and Justin Turner.
Oh, that's a good
pretty
one.
Good.
Yeah.
Are there any other good Murphys?
Murphy, you could get Tom Murphy when he comes off the DL.
Yeah.
Murphy and Tom Murphy.
Hmm. Polanco?
No.
Gregory Polanco.
And Placido Polanco.
Yeah.
Jorge Polanco.
Yeah.
This sounded really fun until I started trying to do it. There's got to be a bunch of Joneses, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Adam Jones.
No pitchers.
Nate Jones. What's up with the pitchers' last names?
They're all weird. Every pitcher has a weird last name.
Yeah.
Not weird. I don't want to be
disrespectful. The first pick is Eric Thames, obviously.
All right, back to fantasy baseball now. Here's your quote of the day. Which manager said this about his pitcher who pitched last night? Or which pitcher's manager said this? Quote, I think he's trying to pitch to more contact and not trying to make perfect pitches and strike everybody out with perfect pitches. Who is inducing more contact?
Dylan Bundy.
No.
Cole Hamels.
No. Vince Velasquez is the answer. So let's get into some pitchers from yesterday, including Velasquez. By the way, quick double dong. Scott Schebler, Tim Beckham. Beckham, by the way, is batting .372 in his last 11 games, but he has 2 walks, 25 strikeouts this year. Do you have any interest in Schebler or Beckham in deep leagues?
I think Schebler's underrated.
Yeah, Schebler's definitely been overlooked. Yep.
Okay. He's 12% owned, Scott Schebler. Good rotation yesterday. James Paxton, Johnny Cueto, Jose Quintana, 10 strikeouts. And Rick Porcello had a weird start. He walked four, but he struck out nine. He got 20 swinging strikes on the Yankees and had a great fastball. But he ended up going 6 2/3, giving up 3 runs, 2 earned. Paxton, Cueto, Quintana, Porcello, anything to say about those guys? I'd rather we keep it short so we could talk about the bad rotation, but you tell
me. Let's move right along then.
Let's
Quintana
do it.
Doesn't count. It was against a Triple A team.
Which one?
Quintana.
Quintana? Oh, against the Royals? Yeah, they're bad. Bad rotation yesterday. Cole Hamels, John Lester, 2 bad starts in a row. I'll remind you, last year he had a 4-start stretch in July where Lester gave up 18 runs in 16 innings. Holy cow, and he still had like a 2.60 ERA for the year. Lance McCullers. All right, the walks are creeping back up a little bit now. Just 3 walks and I think 2 starts in a row. Yeah. Dylan Bundy. I did sell Dylan Bundy yesterday. I am concerned about the velocity. I sold him for Zach Britton. Julio Teheran is another guy who, look, he gave up 2 runs, but he walked 4, he struck out 4, and Tehran's got 15 walks to 22 strikeouts. So Hamels, Lester, and we kind of talked about Hamels. Lester, McCullers, Bundy, Teheran. Any concerns here, guys?
Bundy's just, he's had a weird start to the season. I don't entirely know what to make of it.
His velocity, Bundy's velocity on his fastball has decreased every game so far, a little bit. And I watched a lot of last night's start. And I'm not saying he can't throw harder. Sometimes it's mechanics. Sometimes it's building up arm strength. But if he's going to throw 90 miles per hour, 91 miles per hour with his fastball,
he's averaging 92.
Okay, but it's decreasing.
He's down a mile and a half from last year?
About, yeah.
And the breaking pitches are great. They really are. But he's like a jump
pitcher.
It was
down pretty significantly last night. That's the first one. He'd been in the 92 mile per hour range before last night was 90. So
he's not really striking anyone out. Listen, if somebody in my league wants to pay for 3-1, 1.37 ERA Dylan Bundy, I'm absolutely selling high.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just concerned. I don't know. When I see a guy who has a history of arm issues, whose velocity is going down, it jumps out at me a little bit with Bundy.
You know, Scott poo-pooed it when I made the deal, but I traded Dylan Bundy for Garrett Cole after their respective first starts.
It's good for
you. I feel fantastic about it. I still like Dylan Bundy, but that nothing I've seen has made me regret that trade yet.
I definitely like that better than the trade that Azer just made. For all the Azer trade nonsense there is, the actual trade he executed, I'm not so sure about.
Bundy, I'm not either. But I built Bundy for Britton. Like,
you're trading one guy that you're afraid might be injured for a guy that is currently on the disabled list.
It goes against my rule of don't trade for injured players.
And is that a head-to-head points? Or?
Yeah. But
nah, I don't like it.
I felt like this was, I don't know, I'm afraid of Bundy. And Britton, I wanted a top five closer. I think Britton's a top five closer if he comes back healthy. And I read the reports. He's supposed to go on a rehab assignment tomorrow. Britton should be back on Sunday or by Monday. It's a risk, but I kind of felt like if Bundy couldn't dominate the Rays, if Bundy struck out 3 Rays, the team that strikes out more than any in baseball, this was my best chance to sell him because he's got the Red Sox. He's got 2 starts next week. I think one is the White Sox. The other is the Red Sox. So, or maybe it's the Blue Jays and the Red Sox. I don't know.
But I would also point out that the overall swinging strike rate is still healthy enough that I'm not necessarily concerned about 6.8 Ks per nine. He still has a 12% swinging strike rate. That suggests that he should be able to strike more batters out moving forward.
And 40% of his starts have come against the Red Sox.
Yeah, and they don't strike out. That's true. The other 3 have been the Blue Jays twice and the Rays. Now,
it's been a weird start. It's kind of hard to know what he is.
Let's see. McCullers. You worried about McCullers at all?
Not necessarily. He's going to have stretches where he walks a lot of batters just because he's a curveball first pitcher, and even his really, really good curveball, it's harder to control than a fastball.
I am not worried about him living up to where I had him ranked as a high-end number 3 starter. I am worried about him making the leap that I was hoping he would make to becoming a borderline ace.
I'm going to give you, I think, 6 or 7 fringy starting pitchers. You tell me your 3 favorites. Matt Shoemaker, Vince Velasquez, Robert Gsellman, Daniel Norris, Alex Cobb, Trevor Bauer, Hector Santiago, Shoemaker, Velasquez, Gazelman, Daniel Norris, Cobb, Bauer, Hector Santiago.
My three favorites are Shoemaker, Velasquez, and pass.
Yeah, I'm
dropping Robert Gazelman. I'm sorry I convinced you to draft him in the 12th round in that one league, Acer.
No, I have him in four leagues, and I'm not dropping him yet, but he's got two starts next week. In fact, most, if not all, of these guys do. He's just got to get, like, he's been terrible in the first inning. Sometimes you can correct that, but obviously
he's
droppable.
I love the stuff still, but he's having trouble making it work.
Yeah, he's droppable, Gazelman. I can't argue against it. I don't think he's a must drop. And I also think that Daniel Norris has given up four earned runs in two straight starts. This is after going 21 starts in a row, allowing three or fewer earned runs. And he had a strikeout per inning last year. He's not striking people out. Like, Gazelman and Norris are two guys that, because of what I said earlier in the show about not finding good pitching on waivers, I don't know that I want to drop them. And obviously, I'm not dropping Shoemaker or Velasquez either. But I don't know that I want to drop Gazelman or Norris. Just
the Shoemaker's underowned at 81%, by the way.
He needs to go a little bit deeper into games. He has not been very efficient.
Lots of foul balls.
Yeah?
Lots of foul balls last night.
That's an inch away from a swing strike.
Or a home run.
Hector Neris has given up three runs on seven hits in his last three appearances. Should we own Joaquin Benoit?
No. I think Hector Neris is so far ahead of everyone else in that bullpen in terms of skill that I'm not worried about it.
This is going to turn into an athletics situation. And
yeah, they're
odd,
all professional athletes.
Because the Athletics used to be in Philadelphia.
Oh, comes full circle. And Fernando Rodney gave up five earned runs in two-thirds of an innings. Thank you, Fernando Rodney and Robert Gazelman for... I accidentally sat Gazelman yesterday in my daily league, so that was good. Thank you, Fernando Rodney and John Lester, for losing me like three categories yesterday. Let's grade some trades to finish the show. From Josh in Iowa. Grade the trade. Give up Garrett Cole and Gregory Polanco, a couple of Pirates. Cole and Polanco get Jake Arrieta and pick up Conforto or Margot at the roster spot. So you give up Cole and Polanco, you get Arrieta, and then you get either Conforto or Margot on waivers. Grade the trade.
I don't like it.
You have to grade it.
D.
C minus.
Okay, D and a C minus. We don't like the trade. David in Chicago, grade the trade. Hey, Muggsy, Charles, Patrick, and Sean. Oh, when the NBA was good, I like it.
The Space Jam folk.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. 10-team head-to-head categories league with OBP. Give Dylan Bundy, get Jose Peraza.
D plus, aim higher.
Yeah, I think probably the right spot.
I'd rather have Zach Britton than Jose Peraza. From Mike, grade the trade. Give up Bundy, get Carlos Martinez. That's a good one.
A.
B plus.
From Trey, grade the trade. Greinke for Billy Hamilton. I need steals.
I think that's a B plus.
Wow. If you're going to give it a passing grade, it's got to be more like a B minus.
I'm not, and that's not necessarily a reflection of a lack of belief in Zach Greinke. I think he's pretty good.
I'm going to give it what's between a C and a C minus?
C mine.
He's got like a 70.
Not the courage of your convictions.
Apparently. A 72.75%.
Okay. From Bryce in Iowa, give up Trey Turner and Matt Carpenter. This is a big one. It's a blockbuster. Give up Trey Turner and Matt Carpenter. Get Chris Bryant.
I think you're giving up too much.
Did anybody make a good trade? C
minus. C minus, yeah.
Yeah, Bundy for Carbart. That's a good one.
Okay, there was our good one.
This is from the Reverend Brandon E. Miles. Good afternoon, Mal, Zoe, Wash, and Jane.
No idea.
None.
Got to look into that one. It's a keeper league. 10-team points keeper league, keep four. Trade Manny Machado, Albert Pujols, and Michael Pineda. Machado, Pujols, Pineda. Get Posey, Segura, and Verlander. You're giving up the best player, but I like it.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good. Pujols has very little value in a keeper league. Pineda, I don't know. I don't think he has much value in a keeper league. So I think that's a B.
I'm going to go with a C minus because Machado is the only player I actually like. No, I'll give it a C plus. C plus.
All right, James in Kentucky. Hey, Fleischman, O'Connell, Maurice, and Chris.
Well, Chris Towers.
Sure.
These
Fleischman's yeast.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll look it up.
It's Northern Exposure. And the last one was Firefly.
Northern Exposure?
It was late 80s, early 90s.
My
television.
Mom loved Northern Exposure.
These intros are almost as bad as your trades.
All right, here's the trade. Give Jake Lamb, get Stephen Piscotty. Worried about the humidor. Give Jake Lamb, get Stephen Piscotty.
C plus.
C plus.
Interesting. Okay. And Mason in Spokane. Give up Roark and Graveman. Roark and Graveman, get Madison Bumgarner.
See?
Good job, Mason.
I like that, yeah.
B plus.
Roark and Graveman for Bumgarner. B plus and a C, which means it's a B minus on average. All right, hey, thank you for a great show, fellas. It's been fun.
You're welcome.
It was a great time.
You guys were great. You were awesome. And thank you
for always. You're always professional, Adam.
And let me just read this last one. This is from Steven from Illinois. Upon listening to yesterday's podcast, I felt myself get dumber when Chris said, quote, take this L, end quote. I consider it your duty to ensure this doesn't happen again.
You know what I have to say to that?
Take this L.
Steven's going to have to take this L.
All right. For Heath Cummings and Chris Towers, I'm Adam Azer. Make sure you watch our NFL draft show. Make sure you go to ZipRecruiter.com/strike. And have a great day, everybody. See ya.